Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be preaching from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. And the title of the message is The Danger of Counterfeits. The Danger of Counterfeits. This is in 2 Corinthians, Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. I began this last week talking about the simplicity that's in Christ that Paul wrote about in verse 3. If you want to look at that again, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. And here Paul writes, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety." And of course, as I said last week, that's going back to the garden when Satan appeared to Eve in the form of a serpent, and deceived her. And then Adam came in and knew full well what he was doing. He took sides with his wife and with Satan against God, and the whole human family fell. He says, "So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity, the single solitary message that's in Christ. Salvation by the grace of God, all in Christ." Salvation of the Lord. It's not of you. It's not of me. It's all of Christ. And that's what we preach if we preach the gospel, that it's all in Christ. Salvation is not conditioned on you. It's not conditioned on me. It's all conditioned on Christ, who is none other than God in human flesh without sin, the God-man. And it's based upon that one single solitary work that he did by himself as he obeyed unto death, even the death of the cross, to bring about the full, free, eternal salvation of all his people. And they shall be saved. Now, that's the simplicity that's in Christ. It's all in him. And what had happened here, as I said last week, false preachers had crept into the church at Corinth, as they always creep in. They come in stealthily, the scripture says, like spies. And then they seek to divert people away from this simplicity, the single message in Christ, and get people to looking to other things, looking to the world, looking to the church, mainly looking to themselves. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, that kind of thing. Self-motivation, self-will, all of that. But the Bible, that's a corruption, that's a subtlety of Satan to get your mind off Christ. Over in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it talks about running the race, the Christian life, the Christian race, which is a race of grace. And how do we run it? It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And that's what it means, that Christ, he began it, he fulfills it, and he will bring it to its fruition. It's all in him. And to live by faith is to live your life looking to, resting in, clinging to Christ for all wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And so that's the message. But false preachers came in, and it says in verse 4. Now look at 2 Corinthians 11, 4. I mentioned this last week. "For if he that cometh," talking about preachers, "preacheth another Jesus." Now, if you didn't hear this last week, I made this statement. There are two different Greek words for the word another. One of them means another of the same kind. John used that in John 16 when he was talking about the Holy Spirit as a comforter. Christ told his disciples, "I'm going away." He's going to the cross. He's going unto the Father, and he's going to send the comforter. He's another comforter. That's That's what he says. And he's the Holy Spirit. He's a comfort of the same kind of Christ because he is the third person of the Godhead of the same nature, deity, that Christ is, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But the word another here is another Greek word, which means another of a different kind. Another Jesus. Not the same one that I preached to you, Paul is saying, but a counterfeit. That's what he's talking about. Now, how do you know the difference between the true biblical Jesus and all the counterfeits? Now, there's only one. Now, think about this. There's only one true biblical Jesus. Not many. And this biblical Jesus made this statement in John 14:6, and we could find similar statements all over the biblical text. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The true biblical Jesus. He said in John 10, I am the door. There's only one door. There's not many ways. There's not many truths. There's not many doors. You know, people today have fallen prey to the heresy of pluralism. And that's what, in other words, if you're sitting there and listening to me, do you believe there are many ways to God and that the Christian way is just one way, one of the many? That's pluralism. And that's deadly. That's heresy. Christ is the one way. He's the one door. He's the one salvation. Peter preached it. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, the God-man, Christ Jesus. So if any person, preacher, comes along, preaches another of a different kind, listen, he says, or if they, in verse 4, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, an evil spirit, a legal spirit, or another gospel. There's only one gospel. Paul dealt with this in Galatians 1. If they come preaching any other gospel than that which we preached unto you, let them be anathema. Which you have not accepted, you might well bear with me. Now that word him should be me. In the King James Version, they put him. But it's an objective pronoun. It wasn't in the original. It's Paul saying, bear with me. In other words, you side with me against them because I'm preaching the true Christ. Well, how do we know the difference between the biblical Jesus and all the counterfeits? There's only one biblical Jesus, but there are many counterfeits. Christ said that in Matthew 24 when he was talking about the end of days. He said, they'll come saying, here's Jesus, there's Jesus, I'm the Messiah. See, they'll come saying all these different things, pointing you in every different. He said, but don't listen to them, don't follow them, don't believe them. But now here's something that ought to make you perk up your ears. He said, some of them will be so close to the truth that if it were possible, they could deceive the very elect. Now, who are the elect? Well, that's God's children. That's true believers, sinners saved by grace, chosen before the foundation of the world in Christ, redeemed, fell in Adam, but redeemed by the blood of Christ, and who are born again by the Spirit and brought to faith in Christ, the true biblical Jesus. Now, we all start out ignorant, and in unbelief, fooled. But if you're one of God's elect, you won't remain that way throughout life. At some point in time, you will be brought under the true gospel. And by the power of the Spirit, you will be brought to see and know and understand and believe in and rest in and cling to the true biblical Jesus, who is the Lord our righteousness. And that's what he's saying. But in the last days, Satan will be busy deceiving the world with counterfeits. Now, let me show you this. Look across the page there to verse 13. And he says, well, look at verse 12. Now, he went on talking about false preachers and defending himself, which he didn't want to do. But look at 2 Corinthians 11:12. He says, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. In other words, he's talking about false preachers there who are trying to get glory for themselves and not be humbled. You see, and that's what I tell people. We all have pride. That's even believers, and we have to fight that pride. I have to fight that pride. And I tell people this way, and this is the way I truly see it. It's like the psalmist in Psalm 130 in verse 3. He made this statement. He said, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who would stand? Now that includes me. Right now, this moment, as I'm preaching to you, if the Lord would impute or mark iniquities against me, I wouldn't stand because I'm a sinner. And my preaching does not make me any less of a sinner. You see, my preaching does not make me righteous. And I'm telling you, if God were to judge me right now based upon my best efforts to keep the law and to be good, I wouldn't stand. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And that's it. But now these false preachers in 2 Corinthians and who invaded these churches stealthily, they wanted people to glory in them and glory in themselves. And Paul says, no, I don't want to give you occasion to do that. And so he says in verse 13, now look at 2 Corinthians 11:13. He says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers. See, these aren't men who come into your church with horns and a tail and fangs and pitchforks. These are people who are admired and looked at. They have a charisma about them. And he says they're deceptive workers. And listen to what he says, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They're the transformers. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means they can temporarily, and that's what this means, the tense of the verb, they can temporarily speak right things. They can say a lot of right things and claim to be messengers of Christ and claim to believe the Bible and preach the Bible. This is how Satan subtly does this, see? These are not men who stand up in pulpits and say, well, shut your Bibles, we don't believe that, or we don't believe in God, or they're not people who are openly immoral or promoting immorality. These are people who are disguised under the guise of truth. And sometimes it's truth mixed with error. Sometimes it's 50% truth, 50% error. Sometimes it's 98% truth, 2% error. You say, boy, this is really cutting to the edge, isn't it? I had an old preacher one time tell me, he says, you know, rat poison is 98% good food, but it's deadly. And so I hear people say, well, they don't preach it like you do, or they don't preach this, that, and that, that, and the other, but they say enough. Well, look at what he says again, verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And that is a temporary transformation. They can't stay with them. You may hear a good message one time, but they can't stay there. And you know why? Because their heart is not in it. That's not where their heart is. It's like a man who preached for many months, and his message was geared toward looking within yourself to find peace, looking within yourself to find righteousness. Somebody went to him and said, "Don't you think we ought to look to Christ for peace and for righteousness?" And he said, "Oh yeah." And he may have preached a couple messages, but pretty soon he went right back to looking to self, looking within yourself. What's wrong? His heart was not in Christ, looking to Christ. Now look at verse 14. He says, and no marvel. Now what he means by that is this should not amaze you. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan himself makes this temporary transformation into an angel of light. My friend, most people are very unfamiliar with the works of Satan. Look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 with me. Most people, when they think of satanic work, they think of demon possession as is portrayed in the movies, like horror movies and things like that. But my friend, let me tell you something. Demon possession can be a false preacher standing behind a pulpit preaching a false Jesus. Or they think about somebody who spends their times with the world in the brothels and in the bars and in the drug dens. And they say, well, that's satanic work. Well, that's just, you know what that is? That's just fallen, depraved human nature. That's what that is. But what about Satan? Well, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. Listen to this. Paul writes, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Look at verse 4. In whom the god of this world, that's Satan, he's called the god of this world because he's got some control over the fallen world. He's not in complete control. He's not a demigod or an anti-god or the equal opposite of God. He's just a fallen angel. In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, my friend, there's the work of Satan. Satan's goal is to have people in a false refuge or a false profession of religion, looking to themselves, looking to a counterfeit Christ, being deceived, subtle, deceptive. That's what Satan's goal is. How can we combat that? Well, look at 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. Listen to what Paul says. For we preach not ourselves. Now that's what he's saying. If you want to see the deceptive, subtle, transformational work of Satan exposed, don't go where they preach yourself, preach ourselves, where it's all centered on man, humanistic religion, salvation conditioned on man and not on Christ. He said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. There's that simplicity of Christ. And ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. I'm just a servant. Don't look to me. Don't look to the servant. Look to the master for salvation. You see what I'm saying? Don't look to the preacher. He's just the signpost. We point to Christ. That's what John the Baptist said. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not your Savior. I'm not even worthy to untie his shoelaces. Look unto Christ. Look unto him and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And so he says in verse 6, now look, here's how God, in his power, delivers people from the deceptive power of Satan. Verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, the same God who created this world, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face. That's the person of Jesus Christ. He'll point you to Christ. Now go back to 2 Corinthians 11. See, your only hope is to sit and listen to a preacher who points you to Christ and not to yourself or not to himself or not looking with him, but look to Christ for all salvation. For all righteousness, for all forgiveness, for all redemption, all eternal life and glory. It's his righteousness alone, the merits of his obedience unto death to secure the salvation of his people. And look back at verse 15. This is 2 Corinthians 11, verse 15. He says, therefore, it is no great thing if Satan's ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They claim to be ministers of righteousness. They claim to be preaching Christ's righteousness, but they're transformers and they are deceptive. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about false prophets, false preachers, preaching a counterfeit gospel, pointing sinners to a counterfeit Christ. Now, look over in the book of 2 John. You know, the Apostle John was used of God to write the Gospel of John and the book of Revelation. But he was also used of God to write three short letters, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. Look at the second epistle of John. Going back from Revelation about two books, 2 John, it's a real short epistle, just 13 verses. And in this chapter, in this book, this letter, the Apostle John was led by the Holy Spirit to talk about not having fellowship with false believers, false preachers. And what was the basis of that separation? Well, he says in verse 9 of 2 John 9, he says, whosoever transgresseth. Now, the word transgress there is a word, common word for sin, which means going too far. It means crossing the line, that kind of thing. It means going beyond the standard. And what does he mean? Whosoever crosses the line and goes beyond the standard. Look at verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth or continue not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. They're crossing the line and going too far and going beyond the standard is not continuing in the doctrine of Christ. And the doctrine of Christ there is the same as that simplicity that's in Christ. They have not God. They're not in fellowship with God. They're not under the leadership of God. They're in rebellion and unbelief and darkness. They're following the path of Satan, the broad road that leads to destruction. And he says in verse 9, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And verse 10 says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine of Christ, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. That means you do not have religious fellowship with him. Verse 11, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So those who bring not the doctrine of Christ, they're spreading evil deeds. Now, they may be reading the Ten Commandments to you and telling you to keep them in order to attain righteousness. That's evil deeds, because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now you see the subtlety and the deception that's going on here? That's what Paul back in 2 Corinthians 11 was talking about. These are transformed into ministers of light. Now, he tells us there that any who abide not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. Wouldn't that show us that we better get into the Word of God and find out what the doctrine of Christ is? Exactly. Well, John describes it plainly in 1 John. He describes it plainly in the Gospel of John. Paul describes it. But let me simplify it for you. It comes down to two basic truths concerning this, these questions. Who is Jesus Christ? And number two, what did he accomplish for his people when he died on the cross? That's the doctrine of Christ. You can parse that in different ways. Some people, they'll say it this way. Who is Jesus Christ? Why did he come to the world? What did he do? Where is he now? Those are good questions too. They are all the doctrine of Christ. Well, who is Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible tells us he is God manifest in the flesh, but without sin. And the reason I say that is because many times there are people, many times in the scripture, the word flesh is a metaphor for sin. Sinful desires, sinful thoughts, sinful motives. That's the flesh. And the reason it's called the flesh is because those sinful desires and motives and thoughts operate through these fleshly human bodies. And so it's called the flesh. But Christ had a human body, but it was without sin. He had no sin. He knew no sin. He was never corrupted or contaminated by sin. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he was made sin, but how was he made sin? That's only by the imputation of the sins of God's elect to him. That's a legal matter. That's like having a debt charged to your account, you see. The debt of the sins of his people was charged to his account. But their sins did not corrupt him, did not contaminate him. All through his human life on earth, as God-man, he had no sinful thoughts. He had no sinful motives. He had no sinful desires or goals. It was always perfection. And that was him. Now that's his person, God in human flesh. What did he accomplish on the cross for his people? He accomplished their salvation and ensured that they would be saved. He didn't make salvation possible if you would let him, or if you would agree with him, or if you would seal the deal. He didn't die for those who perish. No, sir. His death is a propitiation for their sins. That means it's a sin-bearing sacrifice that brought satisfaction. That's the doctrine of Christ. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.